Mary and Joseph were amazed at what was said about their child. But to me, the most amazing part of this passage that we just heard, I think, is what happened at the end. So it says, when they had fulfilled all the prescriptions of the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. In other words, after all that had happened, they just went home. And I hear that, and I wonder, were they out of their minds? Were they not paying attention? Did they not remember how Mary just miraculously gave birth to Jesus? Did they not see the shepherds come and tell everyone that their child would be the Messiah, the Messiah? Did they not hear the words of Simeon, how he looked at Jesus and proclaimed him to be the Savior of the world? After everything that they had seen and heard and experienced over the past 40 days or so, how could they possibly just say, okay, we're gonna go home now? Didn't they realize that something pretty important was going on? That didn't they want to do their part in you know, getting going, accomplishing this great mission of saving the world that their son was gonna do? In reality, though, this was the mission: going home, being a family. At that moment in time, as exciting as that all that was happening might have been, this is exactly how the Holy Family would work together in saving the world. So if Jesus lived about 30 years on earth before his death and resurrection, that means that he spent over 90% of that time at home with his family in Nazareth. And I think in doing that, he wasn't just wasting time or waiting for the important stuff to happen, but rather, I think that shows just how much he values family life. Part of the perplexing thing about all those years he spent at home with Mary and Joseph is that there's not much that we know about exactly what happened during that time. Most of the details of the Holy Family's life together, we can only infer or imagine. But even if we don't know all the details, that doesn't mean that those details are not important and beautiful and infinitely valuable. For example, through all those years, we of course don't have a record of all the exact words that were spoken in their home, but we can imagine how many thousands of times over the years Jesus must have said the words, "Yes, Dad," or "Yes, Mom, I'm coming." And it's amazing to imagine, maybe just something so simple, but it's true. If you think about it, just how many times he just said those simple words. He said yes to his parents. In the first reading from the book of Sirach, we heard, "Whoever honors his father atones for sins. He who obeys his father brings comfort to his mother." We should not doubt that even in his childhood, Jesus was already making atonement for our sins by his loving obedience to Mary and Joseph. The Catechism of the Catholic Church says it this way. It says, "The everyday obedience of Jesus to Joseph and Mary both announced and anticipated the obedience of Holy Thursday when he said, 'Not my will, but yours be done.' The obedience of Christ in the daily routine of his hidden life was already inaugurating his work of restoring what the disobedience of Adam had destroyed. And Mary and Joseph, too, were participating in this work, in his mission. They did that simply by serving and caring for Jesus and for one another with obedience, with love, by simply being a family and living in holiness. We look to the Holy Family, especially today, as a model for our families. And we know that our families struggle with sin in a way that the Holy Family did not. But at the same time, we know that the Holy Family is a real human family. And that as a human family, their mission, the mission that they had, is our mission too. As the Second Vatican Council stated, this mission, the family, or human families have received from God. It will, and this, the family will fulfill this mission if it appears as the domestic sanctuary of the church by reason of the mutual love of its members and the prayer that they offer to God in common. If the whole family makes itself a part of the liturgical worship of the church, and if it provides active hospitality and promotes justice and other good works for the service of all in need. And of course, these things that the Second Vatican Council said that families are entrusted to do as their mission, of course, some of these things are things that in different ways all of us are called to do, no matter what our state in life is. But the family's calling in this regard is also unique. The family is unique. And why is that? Well, this is especially the case because marriage is something that is created by God as an image of His own love. Contrary to what the world around us might say, marriage in the family is not simply a human institution, but God Himself is the author, is the creator of marriage and of the family. When Jesus in the gospel taught about marriage, He used the words from the beginning, referencing the book of Genesis. And as Jesus has taught us, marriage and family has always been a key part of God's plan of creating the universe. And we can see that most especially in the creation of man and woman. Since God created man and woman, their mutual love becomes an image of the absolute and unfailing love with which God Himself loves us. That is, a love that is permanent and faithful, a love that is fruitful in bringing forth children. This is the love that God shows us most perfectly when Christ laid down His life for us on the cross, giving us new birth, new life, in His forgiveness of all of our sins. And this is the awesome gift that He has bestowed on married couples, on families, that they may reflect this love, that they may reflect an image of His perfect love for us. This is the call to marriage, to family life. Now, we may look around at our own families and our world and wonder, okay, that's nice, but is this too good to be true? It can sometimes be easier to see the ways that we tend to struggle and fall short of this calling than to see a real image of God's love. And not only that, but we, of course, live in a world where almost all the voices around us try to convince us that the Catholic Church and her teachings on marriage, on family, are wrong. And all of that can make it hard for us to really believe in this design of the Creator, to really believe in the mission that He's given us, the same mission of the Holy Family. It's really important for us to recognize, though, that the struggles within marriages, the struggles within our families, the struggles within ourselves, they don't come from our human nature. They don't come from our relations with one another as men and women. These struggles come from sin. And to heal the wounds of sin, we need the help of God. We need His grace. We need His forgiveness. Without His help, we cannot achieve this mission for which God created us in the beginning. And the reality is that God has not left us alone in this. He gives us His help. He gives us this help. He hasn't called us to achieve this mission just by ourselves. He has offered us His grace, especially in the sacraments. So marriage itself is a sacrament in the Catholic Church. And that means that when a baptized man and woman are married, they receive the grace of the Holy Spirit to help them to live out this calling. That doesn't mean that they are going to be forever perfect and without sin, but that means that the Holy Spirit is with them, that they can turn to Him at all times. And another key to fulfilling this mission of the family is keeping the sacraments of confession and Holy Communion also at the center of the family's life. Because again, we know that we are all going to struggle with sin. But we don't have to be stuck in that struggle if we keep turning to the Lord and asking for his help. And we can also see in a beautiful way in this gospel reading that the Holy Family was not simply an island all by itself, but rather there were various other people, even strangers such as Simeon and Anna, who had a vital role in blessing and supporting them. And this may be an encouragement to any of us who might not have the opportunity right now to live in a visible family unit. The reality is that not all of us are called explicitly to that at every moment of our lives. And there's also a unique dignity to the call that some of us receive to be unmarried as priests or religious. But even still, every one of us, all of us, can and must be a part of this same mission of the family in different ways. Now, Simeon and Anna did not get to go home with the Holy Family to Nazareth, but they did get to offer God's blessing to them in a way that only they could. For us, you know, we can do the same. Instead of maybe wasting time being envious of the family that we don't have, we could ask the Lord to help us learn how to support or bless the families around us, even in small ways when we have the opportunity. In this mission of the family, every single one of us has a really important role to play. So may this celebration of the Holy Family today inspire us and help us to join with Jesus, Mary, Joseph, Simeon, and Anna in carrying out this mission of the family, this mission which God has invited us to, has created us for, and the mission he himself is accomplishing, the mission of saving the world.